This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, March 8th, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. How police get warrants and the information that police can cull with those warrants have changed dramatically with new technology. Cato's Brent Skorup discusses the rise of so-called reverse warrants. He discusses how courts are now handling them. I have seen, defense attorneys on social media saying, I am begging you, please stop Googling the elements of the crimes that you have committed. And it's pretty obvious why that authorities can obtain that information with varying levels of requirement when it comes to sort of the processes that they have to use in order to get that information. And that is often used as evidence against people in court at trial to prove that they did something or at least had the mind, the mens rea to engage in that behavior. But a lot of police agencies have undertaken a reverse warrant, which is to say, we are investigating a crime, so we want to know information that exists about this crime. Can you walk us through just sort of what the difference is between a warrant when a police agency or some other agency comes into your home and says, we are searching for this. We have reason to believe that you were involved in this. And so we're executing a warrant because we already have reason to believe that you have been involved in this versus the reverse warrant where we just want to know all the information about this thing.
So you're seeing with police departments and criminal investigations across the country the rise of reverse warrants. And what I see as a big difference between a traditional warrant and a reverse warrant is typically with a reverse warrant, you don't have any suspects in mind. You're trying to find a list of suspects, whereas traditionally with a search warrant, you kind of know where the suspect lives. You want to search his or her house or documents. But with reverse warrants, and there's two major types of reverse warrants that I'm aware of, and they involve digital data. One is a geolocation. So if police know a crime occurred, but they have no suspect list, they might go to a digital services company like Google or Apple and say, we want to know who was in this location at about the time of the crime. And the other, in this Colorado case, is a search history reverse warrant, where police in this case went to Google and want to know particulars of search history to find a suspect list.
In terms of what warrants are for, is there a substantial difference here? The idea of a search warrant being used to generate a list of suspects seems a little different than what I expect a warrant to be used in order to accomplish.
They're different in that reverse warrant, you're searching a massive amount of information, whereas a typical warrant, your police have described with particularity what they're searching. So, and it depends. I mean, courts will have to figure out, and they are trying to figure out, are these different or are these similar and constitutional?
So what has Colorado done?
In the fall, the Colorado Supreme Court decided a case called Colorado v. Seymour. It's a tragic case involving arson in 2020 that killed a family, two children and three adults. Police, after investigating, they found some surveillance footage, finding three hooded mass figures approaching the house at night, but after a few weeks of investigation, had no leads on who these suspects might be. So they did something fairly novel, police investigators. They went to Google, said, we want to know who searched this address where this deadly arson took place in the days leading up to the arson. After some back and forth with Google, Google provided some IP addresses, eight Google accounts, the fifth criteria police were looking for. And with that, they were able to narrow down the list of suspects.
So, but for that information, police would not have had a list of suspects.
I think that's true. That's what the three suspects who ultimately were charged, one of them alleged, but for what he viewed as an impermissible search of his information, he would have never been caught.
The critical issue here
that the Colorado Supreme Court used to make its final determination was this is proprietary data, and what, the warrant was served on the wrong person?
So the suspect Seymour in this case, who alleged the impermissible search and seizure, said there was no probable cause, and the Fourth Amendment requires you need particularity in describing what things will be seized. And so he said there was not sufficient particularity in that request to Google, and also alleged there's no probable cause. For particularity, the Colorado Supreme Court said, no, this was sufficiently particular. The probable cause, the court also kind of punted on that issue. But the interesting question is, what was there sufficiently particular information to seize his Google history? And the Colorado Supreme Court said, yes, this was sufficiently particular.
But what of the ownership of that information?
This was the novel analysis in this case. The Colorado Supreme Court looked at the terms of service from Google, you know, all the things we sign or click, you know, check button on. They looked at the terms of service for Google data, and it seems they also brought in a Google specialist about who owns Google search histories. And the Colorado Supreme Court said, based on terms of service, based on what Google tells us, individual account owners, you and me, own our Google search histories. And with this information, the Colorado Supreme Court said, yes, there was a seizure of the suspect's information. It was his, and it was seized.
But as far as the court is concerned, appropriately under the warrant.
Yes, yes. The court held it was seized appropriately.
Okay. So in terms of courts going forward, looking at these kinds of reverse warrants, or regular traditional warrants, as we've come to understand them, how should they behave when it comes to this question of particularity, of the question of whose data it is, and that sort of thing? If it's my data and they're presenting the warrant to Google to get my data, does that pose a problem?
There was a very strong dissent in this case, and I think other courts, other state and federal courts are approaching this issue. It's going to be a close call on whether they agree with the majority that a reverse warrant satisfies the Fourth Amendment, or other judges I expect will agree with the dissent that, no, this is equivalent to a general warrant. You're searching billions of accounts in the case of search history and narrowing it down to a small suspect list. In the dissent's view, this is equivalent to a general warrant that the Fourth Amendment was supposed to protect us against. And so I think courts will be struggling with this in the years ahead.
It's a fascinating thing because you think about like DNA evidence. Do I own the particular sequence of information that makes up who I am? And if I've sent it to 23andMe or Ancestry.com or one of these other services, and the government comes in with a warrant and says, well, we're looking for this particular sequence. Please search your entire database for that sequence. Sounds pretty similar.
Yeah, I mean, so much of our lives are now digital records that we turn over voluntarily or not to a large number of companies. And this raises new Fourth Amendment questions. I mean, DNA, location, Google searches, and who we communicate with. These reverse warrants pose a challenge to courts. And as the Colorado case shows, with the vigorous dissent, I think judges have not developed a consensus on this.
In terms of guidelines for judges who are actually examining these kinds of questions, what would you tell them?
I found the majority's analysis here and was pleased to see them do a detailed analysis of whose data is this, and was glad they brought a lot of scrutiny to the Google terms of service and brought in Google to find whose data is this, because often this is ignored or kind of swept away. I think the dissent makes some pretty good points. Is this particularly described when you're telling a commercial company to search billions of records and provide the government with a short list of suspects? Yeah, I will say police investigators should get a warrant in these cases. In this case, they did, a reverse warrant. You know, whether that satisfies the Fourth Amendment, as I said, is an open question. But in this case, they did get a warrant to their credit, and the majority said it was sufficiently particular to be lawful.
Brent Skorup is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please. And thank you for listening.